From Duval, Washington, it's the 407 Cast. Here's your host, RSD Superintendent, Dr. Susan Leach.
Hello, and welcome to the 407 Cast, your window into the dynamic world of education in the Riverview School District, where we discuss our achievements, the challenges we face, and the innovative ways we are accelerating learning, and we're excited you chose to listen in. Welcome to all our listeners. I'm so happy you chose to listen in to the great conversation we have in store for you today. Before I bring in this week's guest, I want to extend a warm welcome back to everyone after winter break. I hope the time away was restful and full of joy, making new memories with family, friends, loved ones. As we embark on this new calendar year, I'm excited to continue our journey together on the 407 Cast, sharing stories and highlighting voices from educators and leaders in our community. With that said, let me introduce this week's guest, who I'm thrilled to have on the program. I would like to welcome Mr. Mike Stone, our band teacher from Tolt Middle School. Welcome to the 407 Cast, Mike.
Thank you.
Could you talk a little bit about your background and how you came to be a middle school band teacher?
I have a pretty interesting path that led me here, and I was a professional musician for years. I did a lot of commercial studio work in Seattle. I wrote a lot of music. I arranged a lot of music. I toured a lot. I worked at Fifth Avenue Theater and Teatro Zanzani and places like that. And I had actually a very good career. And at one point, I had kids, and travel became something that wasn't in the cards anymore. So I started teaching a little bit, private instruction, and I taught a lot of the percussionists that go through the Roosevelt High School jazz program, which, you know, they're one of the best programs in the nation. And at one point in the summertime, I needed some extra work, and I decided to teach a band class and kind of contemporary music ensemble. And I was completely frightened because I didn't really know what to do, and I was going to be in this room with all these kids. And I don't think I slept the night before. And I went in, and we just started working, and I was like, about 45 minutes into it, I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, the kids were responding, and we had a great performance, and I just realized that I could work with groups of kids. The music thing has always been really, really good to me, and amazingly enough, I was pretty successful at that. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. I can't feel the bottom of my right foot where it touches the bass drum pedal anymore, and I'm actually going to see a shoulder specialist on Friday because my shoulder doesn't work anymore. So playing, for me, is no longer a viable option on a professional level. I mean, I still perform around Seattle. I had to do something. My junior high school band director was amazing. Part of the reason why I do this is because of him. And what he was able to give me, I can give other kids.
I think that there are a lot of Riverview students who feel exactly that way about you. So I think that's pretty incredible. You're carrying that on.
I think the important thing for my students just to create an environment where they can be safe and learn and do something that stimulates their mind and hopefully it also instills a love of music. I mean, I feel like I've got a lot of support from my administration at the school, and it just allows me to do good things with students.
One of the things that I think is so impressive about your classroom, the word inclusive is such a buzzword in education right now. Everyone wants to see inclusive environments, but you really walk that walk. It doesn't matter where a student comes into your class, you find something for them and make them a part of the group. And I wonder how much intentionality is there behind the way you're operating to bring all of the students in.
It absolutely is very intentional. I mean, I'll take anybody at any point, try to get them in with their peer group, become a successful part of what we do. There are ways to do that. And I think with music, you know, like, for example, if somebody comes up at the semester, a sixth grader, and says, I want to be in band. I saw the band play at the assembly. It was awesome. Can I be in the band? I'd be sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Come see me. And we'll try and figure out a way to make it so that that student can integrate themselves into the band. I have high school kids that tutor the middle school kids if they need it and try and get them up to speed so that they can be part of the program. And the whole idea is if they come in knowing nothing at the semester and they're able to play at the final concert, playing 75% of the material, that seems to me like a win situation. I think that oftentimes music programs, it can be a daunting task to bring somebody in. If you're working with a large group, you don't really have time to like work with any students one-on-one for any length of time. So it's a difficult thing to think about trying to do, but it's really, really well worth it. I think that the students in the classroom respond to that. When they see your willingness to include anybody, it makes them feel better about what they're doing, and they are willing to help. And when the students start helping each other, that's when amazing things start to happen.
One of the things, I've been in your classroom a few times now, and one of the things I'm always struck by is it just has such a calmness to it where I feel like the students seem so content. They're happy doing what they're doing. I don't see anyone who appears to be anxious or unhappy. They just seem so pleased to be in there and happy to be playing and happy to be spending time with you. That's just such a great thing that you're doing. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about what else students get out of being in band besides learning to play an instrument.
Well, the cognitive development that happens when you're learning how to play a musical instrument, and especially learning how to play a musical instrument within a group setting, there's very little that pushes your brain as much as that. Every part of your brain is firing. Mm-hmm. You're reading something, your brain is controlling your fingers or your limbs. Mm-hmm. All the different centers have to work at the same time. You have to be dialed in to what the people around you are doing and on many, many different levels. To be able to play an instrument, learn how to play an instrument, and play an instrument within a group setting is phenomenal. I remember I was asking kids if they're going to be back and join band next year, and the student said, "My parents won't let me." And I was like, "What? Mm. Your parents won't let you be in band?" "No, they want me to be like in a computer science class." And I just Googled on my computer benefits of being in a music program and pulled up an article, printed it off. We had a concert coming up. I usually don't say a whole lot during concerts. Nobody really wants to hear me talk. People want to hear the kids play. I stopped and I said, I had a student come to me the other day and say that their parent would not let them be in band. And I just want to say, I have a list here. This is all stuff that happens when kids learn music, and it's stuff that most people know. I mean, you can look at the grade point average of the band students compared to the rest of the school, and it's higher. The hand-eye coordination, the ability to multitask, the problem-solving skills, the executive functioning, kids relating to one another and being able to do something together, and it's just on another level. You don't have to go far to find that it's an extremely beneficial thing. And I read a couple of these off during the concert, and some people started cheering. Yeah. And needless to say, the kids in band still.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how beneficial it is.
I see that with all the arts, and I always feel really heartbroken when I hear districts for budget cuts canceling music programs, because I think these are the things that for some students, it's what brings them to school. They may excel in that area and they want to get there to participate in band when maybe some other things aren't going so well. And I love hearing all of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've had students that have that their whole existence in school has changed because they have that. It's a pretty powerful thing. And music in general is a pretty powerful thing. Mm-hmm. It has the ability to change lives. It can change your emotional state immediately.
I personally agree with that. How do you assess and grade students in band? Is it really their acuity with playing the instrument, or what things go into grading?
Well, grading in band is a difficult thing. I am not going to give somebody an F because they can't do 10 push-ups. You can't really grade students on their ability to play their instrument because that's not fair. Students in my classroom get graded on participation and their willingness to be part of the group. Half the grade is a participation grade and preparedness, and then the other half is assignments that they do on a weekly basis. And I have to give them something to do. They have to be accountable. And the assignments serve two functions. One is, usually there's something that we're trying to learn, and that assignment will relate to that might be 16th note rhythms, playing in a different key, you know, tone, something like that. But at the same time, they video record for me, so they're not having to perform in front of class or anything that makes them feel uncomfortable. But it gives me the opportunity to see every single student play by themselves. You can't do the job unless you know what the students are capable of doing, and you have to be able to hear them one-on-one. And, you know, I mean, I can listen to the band and I can hear most of the students, even though they're all playing. But there are some students that you can hear. Maybe the students that aren't playing, that are pretending to play. And if you don't know that, how do you reach that student and get them the help they need to be able to participate? And there are other students you'll notice, well, that student doesn't understand the concept of key signature. They're supposed to be playing A flat instead of A natural. And if you see that, if you see eight out of the class doing that, then you know that you need to go back and work on that. So the assignments are as much, if not more, for me than they are for the kids. And again, if they're putting effort in and we're creating something great, then that's what they should be graded on, really. And most of the students, I don't have students that don't want to play, it seems like. I'm not sure what it looks like in a math setting. I'm not sure if I really want to know what that looks like. But yeah, it's got to be something that's equitable.
How much variety is there in the skill and experience level that students come in with? And is there a prerequisite level of, do they have to know anything when they walk in the door?
They don't need to know anything.
I'm sure some of the students come in and they've been taking lessons and they're probably quite accomplished. And then you have somebody in the same class that really has never picked up an instrument.
Yep.
How do you do that?
You get that all the time. It will be a kid that comes in that's taken piano lessons for 6 years and, you know, plays like a couple other instruments. And then there's also somebody who's never played an instrument before and maybe has cochlear implant or something like that, or might make it more difficult to learn. And you just have to create an environment where everybody is able to contribute. And students are expected to contribute what they can contribute. And it's amazing that the student who's never had any music instruction can excel quickly sometimes. And one of the things that I've always tried to do is make it so that those students that come in with all that background and all that skill aren't the students that you put up on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of students whose parents couldn't afford the 6 years of piano lessons.
Yeah, I was one of those kids.
And as soon as that kid gets that, like, you can't make that kid the person that plays in the high level jazz band only. The other students who haven't had the background need to be given the opportunity. And once they're given an opportunity, if they rise to the occasion, then, you know, and those students can be overlooked. The music programs I went through, my junior high music director was an amazing individual, and he certainly got the best out of his students. For example, my high school band director, he didn't do that, and he didn't have that kind of approach, or he didn't have a very good rapport with students either. But you didn't have any opportunity in that program. Mm-hmm. Was an opportunity there. The people who came in that could play were the people that got the opportunities. And oftentimes it's the students that haven't gotten the opportunity that are really special musicians. And one of the things that I try and do is give those students the opportunity to be what they can be. So take every kid and work with every kid and see what they're able to do.
That's why your program's so incredible, I think. I wanted to talk about instruments. And at least it's my sense that that's something that can be a huge barrier for students. I know we have instruments. I always have the sense that we could pour a lot more money if we had it into instruments. Could you talk a little bit about how that works? If a student comes in with their own instrument, do they use that? And then if they don't have an instrument, we try to give them one. How does that work?
I would like to say that this year, everybody who couldn't afford an instrument got one, and I try and make that happen. I feel really strongly about that. We're not going to not have somebody in band because they can't afford an instrument. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I make it happen. Mm-hmm. And getting stuff repaired, buying instruments that we need, and making sure that there's at least one or two that if a student needs an instrument, there's one there for them. And I've been really lucky in being able to make that happen. We don't have a huge budget. You walk into Mercer Island's band room and the first thing you see is a rack for tubas that probably cost $1,000. And then in that rack are six tubas that probably cost $7,000 a piece or something like that. I mean, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but it's like that, you know. Right. So we have to make sure that the students who want to be in the program are in the mm-hmm. program, and whatever it takes to do that, I'll do. And we're running on a shoestring budget, mm-hmm. kind of, but we've managed to make it work. And I'm not going to let somebody not be banned because of that. And I wish that more parents understood that. The barrier that sometimes that we have is that the parent doesn't want to say that they need it. Mm-hmm. And we need to figure out a way to get beyond that so that students whose parents maybe can't afford it but are maybe embarrassed about not being able to afford it, it's not a thing. You know, it's just another class that you sign up for. And that's something that we need to look at.
What is on your instrument wish list if we just suddenly got a windfall and we could purchase some instruments for you? What would be the first few things you would buy?
Right now, I just sent a note to my rep for music and arts that we need a bass clarinet. We really need two. We need instruments that students can't rent, like Barry saxophone. They don't rent those. They're expensive. I was lucky enough to get a couple of those last year, so we're doing good on that. But I spent half my budget just so we could have Barry sax and the jazz bands in our concert band programs. You can't rent those instruments. Tubas, they're expensive. We have enough tubas to have four tuba players in the band. I have one student who can't afford to rent one, and those are very expensive instruments to rent, and you can't bring them to school on the bus. So I have one student that has one at home and one at the school and the other students. And we need a couple of tuba players. There really should be two in each band. I'm going to probably be writing a grant for another tuba. The low brass instruments like tubas, euphoniums are instruments that we always need. And bass clarinet, oboes and bassoons, instruments that are sort of specialty instruments. They're very expensive. I had a bassoons player, their parents just spent 10 grand on one. He deserves it though, I gotta say. He's a great student. But you know, we don't have a working bassoon and we have one oboe that doesn't work well. And those instruments are expensive. And part of the reason why we don't have more bassoon and oboe players is because we can't afford those instruments. But having people involved in the band program ultimately is more important than having an exquisite instrumentation. To me, mm-hmm. I try to make sure that the money is spent so that we have an inclusive program.
I just want to say to the listeners, if you have not had an opportunity to hear your jazz band, you should make the time to do it. It is incredible. If you close your eyes, you would never believe you were listening to a group of middle schoolers. They're very sophisticated. It's so much fun to listen to them, and they are clearly having fun when they're playing. I just have to say, if you haven't done it, do yourself a favor and watch them. Speaking of which, I know just before the holidays, you had a concert. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had a concert on Thursday last week. It was great. I love concerts. It's our opportunity to show everybody what we've been working on. And the kids are amazing. What they're capable of doing is always blows my mind. And the concert last week was exceptional, I thought. They all rose to the occasion. And yeah, you know, the jazz band, I mean, it's not lost on me that I get to wake up and do that in the morning. And we don't just have one jazz band, we have two. So, and they both sound really good. But the jazz one, that band is a phenomenal group. And it's this year, it already sounds insanely good. And we have the rest of the school year to go. They're going to be playing some amazing music by the end of the school year.
Is there anything you have coming up that you know about, like particular dates where someone might be able to see?
I think the next jazz concert that we're doing, I believe, is March 20th. I should double check that date, but I'm pretty sure that's the date. The next band concert we have coming up is January 30th, but that's our symphonic band with the Cedar Crest High School band. I don't know, maybe the jazz band might play a little bit for that. I have to talk a little bit about what the program's going to look like this year. That program is always a little variable because the high school students, depends on what they're up to. You know, my favorite performance is at the end of the year when we get to play at the moving up ceremony.
Yes.
And they just get to play. I mean, we did maybe 9 or 10 songs. Middle school jazz bands don't usually do that.
Yeah. It's so fun to watch them. Yeah. And I'm always there early for that event, so I get to sit and listen to them play while everyone's filing in. It's just a fun evening.
You know, it's like growing a garden. And everything is in bloom for that performance.
How hard is it when the students move on? I experienced that this year where we had really gotten used to hearing some of your students who now this year have moved up to the high school. How hard is that? I feel like you must feel somewhat like a parent.
I definitely miss them, but there isn't time to miss them too much because the next ones are coming in.
Yeah.
This is a lot of work. I always enjoy connecting with the students that have gone through the program. And, you know, this is only my 6th year as a band director. I mean, I haven't had a lot of students. It's sort of a new thing for me, but I'm always interested in seeing where they're at and what they're doing and what they're up to. And Yeah, I definitely, there are some students that I really miss. And I mean, we work together. It's not just me telling them what to do and them doing it. I have to talk to them. We have to work together. And sometimes some of the students are so unbelievably helpful mm-hmm. at making what happens happen. It's like you're missing your right hand. I need some input. Sure. And this person's not here that I used to ask for that input. Yeah, it's on a lot of different levels. You miss students. I mean, some students are just great people. You miss being around them because they put a smile on your face. You know, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the band. Yeah, definitely. And I'm with those students for 3 years. So you develop a relationship with those students that the math teacher does not have. You know, you get to know them pretty well. And their parents, too. Mrs. Keller says hi, by the way.
She's wonderful. Mike, what legacy do you hope to leave with your students and within the school community through your work as the band teacher?
I would hope, first of all, just on a very simple level, that the work that I'm doing builds the program here so that there's a good music program in the district. And I think that ultimately is really, really important. But in terms of the students, you know, just always consider that my first job here is to make sure that students are well-adjusted and good human beings, and teaching students how to be nice to each other and work together and all those things that you have to do to have a good band. There's a vibe when people get together to play music, and it has to be a good vibe, otherwise the music isn't good. But just making sure that students have the opportunity to become good human beings. And then there's the music part of it. I would hope that students take an interest in music because of the experience they've had in the program and that lives with them. It's a heavy responsibility. I mean, I don't want to be the person that ruins music for somebody.
Well, we got to meet a good human that you raised this year when your son sat in.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a pleasure to meet him and to see you both working together and him playing. Clearly, he's following in your footsteps music-wise.
Oh, he's a great musician. And my daughter is, too. She's a great bass player. They both play in the West Seattle High School music program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was equally complimentary to you in just the couple minutes that I talked to him. And it was such a nice conversation. And to hear him speak so highly of you was just really heartwarming.
He's a great kid.
That doesn't happen by accident. Okay, the music's playing. So that means that we have run out of time for today. This has been such a great and fun conversation. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and join us today. I also want to remind everyone to remember to tune in next week for another edition of the 407 Cast, where we will talk about all things education.